Welcome again to our studies in the book of Jeremiah, a book that is so rich in illustrations, a book that has indeed such deep and profound lessons for us in our own spiritual life. And now we are coming to an illustration that we find in Jeremiah chapter 24. It is called the two baskets of figs. Now, I have to explain this just for a moment so that we get our background to this illustration. We are in the time of, shall I say, the captivities of Israel in the land of Babylon. There are three principal captivities. There's one that took place in the time of Jehoiakim, although the king was restored to his throne. There was another at the time of Jehoiachin, and finally at the time of Zedekiah. Now, we have to understand this, that God had prophesied as early as the days of Moses that indeed this captivity would take place. In effect, that Babylon would rise up and indeed become the enemy of Israel, and in so doing, they would indeed take them into captivity in their land of Shinar, or Babylon, as it was also called. But one of the things that we have to understand is this, that Nebuchadnezzar was called of God. He was sanctified by God. Although a heathen king, he was sanctified by God to bring judgment upon the nation of Israel. This is important. It was God who indeed had ordained this captivity because of the sinfulness of the people of Israel, and particularly Judah at this time. So Nebuchadnezzar is with God. In other words, God has raised him up for this very purpose. Later on, of course, Nebuchadnezzar experienced conversion when God dealt with him in a very singular fashion. And it's worth mentioning that Nebuchadnezzar looked upon all these conquests that he had made as being through his own power and glory. God warned him through the prophet Daniel, who was taken captive in the first captivity in the time of Jehoiakim. God warned Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel that if he didn't humble himself, then he would be cut down himself and indeed reduced to being an animal, and then after 7 years would be restored to his throne. Well, a year later, after that warning, Nebuchadnezzar walks through the city of Babylon and said, "Is not this great city, you know, raised up by me, by my power and by my glory?" Well, at that time God struck him, and he gave him a heart of an animal. He became an animal and was put out to the pasture. For 7 years, he was restored. And after that time, we don't hear any more of the conquests of Nebuchadnezzar. For Nebuchadnezzar had truly humbled himself and become a devotee of the true and living God. But before that time, God was using Nebuchadnezzar as a mighty general to indeed conquer the Assyrians first of all, and then because of the wickedness of Judah, God brought him against Jerusalem 3 times. Now, the point that I want to make is this, that it was God who was with Nebuchadnezzar to judge Jerusalem. And God made this point very clearly indeed to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, look, your prosperity lies in submitting to Nebuchadnezzar. Don't fight him. I'm with him. You're not going to overcome him. And so, just before the second captivity, God was saying to the people, humble yourself, and then submit to Nebuchadnezzar. Go out to him. He will take you to Babylon, and there I will treat you well. Well, Ezekiel was one of these. But also the king, Jehoiachin, who was not a good king, but he went with his queen and with his entourage, and also with about 10,000 workmen of Israel. And they went out into captivity. They submitted themselves to Nebuchadnezzar, and he took them captive and brought them to his city of Babylon. Now then, God is now speaking in chapter 24 of two baskets of figs. I have to qualify figs at the moment. Figs are indeed a type of Israel. I don't know if you remember when Jesus was coming to Jerusalem and he saw this fig tree and he wanted to eat of the fruit of that tree. It bore no fruit. He cursed it and it dried up. The fig tree is a type, in actuality, of the nation of Israel. Figs are a type of the sweetness of the nature of God. You could study that in Judges chapter 9. But two baskets of figs. The prophet sees these two baskets of figs, and the one basket is very good figs. The second basket is, well, the King James says they were naughty figs. They were miscreants. They were wicked. They were rebellious. They were evil. They didn't obey the words of the Lord. And so he sees these two baskets. And God speaks to him about these two baskets. He said the good basket is those that submitted to Nebuchadnezzar and went into captivity. The naughty or the wicked, the evil, the rebellious, they are those that did not go into captivity but remained in Jerusalem. Well, what happened? I like to look at Jehoiachin the king, first of all. He was only 18 when he came to the throne. He reigned but a mere 6 months. 18 years of age, but sufficient for God to say that he was a very wicked man. You know, we have the tendency of saying, well, someone's young. You know, perhaps they'll change and so forth. But, you know, God knows what a person is going to be. And so often, you know, it is a time when a person is young that they make some of the most tragic decisions that one has to make in life. They make a decision to leave the path of God, to go and marry someone who isn't a Christian. And the result is they have umpteen, shall I say, episodes of sadness in their life. I've often had to plead with young people from the pulpit, pleading with them to remain on the path of righteousness. But they don't do so. They think they know better than the pastor. Well, so often what happens, and when their girls have become pregnant out of wedlock and so forth, and they mar their lives. Well, they are those that will not submit to the dealings of God. They will not submit to the dealings of God. And the result is they go their own way. And the end of the matter is this. Those people that indeed did not heed the admonition of the prophet to submit to the dealings of God through Nebuchadnezzar. Well, what happened? There came the third captivity, the complete destruction of Jerusalem, and with the result that they lost their lives, either through hunger or being slain by the forces of Nebuchadnezzar. So great was the destruction of Jerusalem that the prophet, one of the prophets, describes it, Zephaniah, as though, you know, the forces of Nebuchadnezzar, the army of Nebuchadnezzar, the soldiers, they took lamps and they went into the underground tunnels in Jerusalem to find those that were hiding there, and they slew them. Oh, great was the destruction of those who indeed were the naughty figs. Yes, those naughty figs paid a tremendous price, losing their life, their salvation, because of disobedience, of not submitting to what God had told them to submit to, the Babylonian captivity. Well, let's come back to the basket of good figs. You know, in other scriptures we're told the spiritual condition of these good figs. We're told that those who submitted were workmen. There were people, you know, who were skilled in their craft. In other words, they were people who had applied themselves to indeed improving their lot in life, having a trade. You know, some people, you know, say, oh, it doesn't matter what I do, you know, and they drift in life. But I tell you this, that God rewards the diligent. And it is so important, you know, for the young. When you consider life, you know, seek God. Ask God, you know, for a trade or a profession so that you will have a meaningful, shall I say, life. A life that you can look back upon and say, well, I had a good life. I applied myself and I did a lot of good for people. You know, when you have a trade, or when you have a profession, when you're a nurse, when you're a skilled workman, you know, you not only work for yourself, but you know, the opportunities come where people, you know, cry out to you and say, well, won't you come and help us? And you have the expertise and the qualities by which you can do that. An electrician, a plumber, and so forth. A carpenter. You know, if you apply yourself and get a good trade, then by the grace of God, you are in a position to help others through your life. And it's very satisfactory to indeed help others. But you can only do so if you have applied yourself and you've got a skill in life. Well, these were the type of people that submitted themselves to the dealings of God. And I want to say this, that you see, in our life, God is working through us to make us, if I could say this, a person that's going to inhabit the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God for eternity. And, you know, it is necessary to purify us. And this was the problem with those in Jerusalem. You see, even the diligent, even the hard-working, had all kinds of impurities in their life. They were particularly given to idolatry. They were given to adultery and fornication and the likes. And we are told in the Word of God that God brought them into Babylon to purify them, to purify their blood. And the interesting thing is this, that from the Babylonian captivity onwards, no Jew indeed practices idolatry. God absolutely purified their blood. Now, you know, not only that, but you see there were many other things in their lives. And the treatment that they endured in Babylon, being far from their land, made them indeed come closer to God and start to seek God for eternal things. You know, we are created by God for His good pleasure. And, you know, one of the things that we have to realize is this. What is that which would cause God pleasure in our lives? Well, it is who we are. It is our character. And therefore, you see, God is working in us to produce something beautiful in our lives, to produce a character that is wholesome and pure, a character that is governed by wisdom, that we make the right steps and choices in life, a character that is filled with love, that we have compassion and concern for our fellow people. You know, to whom does God show this so great salvation? Well, we're told in the Psalms that he that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. A man is known, well, by his conversation, by his works. And you see, it is so important that we realize that first of all, we have our thoughts, then we have our speech, and then we have our deeds. Well, it all starts with our mind, doesn't it? And we indeed have to gird up the loins of our mind so that our minds are strong and our minds govern our speech. You know, the Lord says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. One friend of mine, you know, he said something. And he said to the Lord, that was so unlike me. The Lord said, oh no, that's just like you. That's just like you. You see, so we have to ask God to purify our hearts so that our speech and our works glorify him. Well, this is what God is after. And so you see, he took the king, Jehoiachin, into Babylonian captivity. Well, do we hear anything more about that king? Oh, yes, we do. Here he was, a lad of 18 years, termed wicked by God. But you know, something happened in Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar, as I said, was off the throne. And his son, Evil-Merodach, took the throne, you see, during the absence of his father in the pastures of the Babylonian city. And he reigned, but he reigned very badly. And when Nebuchadnezzar was restored, Evil-Merodach was put in prison. Well, he was a king, you see. So there was a special prison for the kings. And in that prison, of course, was Jehoiachin. Well, the two became friendly, and I think the two started to reminisce over the fact that they were in prison because of all their wrongdoings and their evil traits. Well, the time came that Nebuchadnezzar died. And Evil-Merodach was restored to the throne. And we're told that in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, Evil-Merodach spoke kindly to him and lifted him up and released him and gave him his liberty. Still staying in Babylon, but nonetheless treated as a king. Yes, God took a long time in dealing with Jehoiachin to make him, you know, from a vessel of shame to a vessel of honor. And so Jehoiachin, you see, was restored. Not only, of course, was Jehoiachin restored, but the people, the Jews, who were in captivity, enjoyed quite a degree of prosperity. Remember, they had two major prophets there. Daniel, who was in actuality the governor of Babylon at this time. And he saw that his people were treated well. Yes, if you submit to the dealings of God, and certainly some of those dealings are very hard indeed, but if you submit to them, what is going to happen? Well, you are going to be rewarded in the end. You will be compensated for what you have gone through. You know, the word of God is very clear. How down you come is how high you are restored. And you know, the Jews in Babylon had quite a good life. They were honored by virtue of Daniel. And you see, there was a time when Daniel was no longer governor, and other people came on the throne of Babylon who mocked the Jews. But you know, in the end, when Babylon fell, that is, the Babylonian Empire fell to the Medes and Persians, well, the king of the Medes, Darius, well, whom did he appoint as governor of Babylon? None other than Daniel, who he made the supreme head under himself of all the empire. Yes, the Jews were quite well treated in Babylon, those who had submitted. But as I said, the basket of naughty figs, well, what happened to them? They were utterly destroyed in the third captivity of 586 BC. Well, I'm asking you, you know, as you're listening to me, are you thinking, which basket are you in? Are you the basket of good figs which submits to the dealings of God? Or are you in the other basket, the basket of naughty figs? You young people, are you naughty? Older ones, are you walking in a pathway of rebellion or wickedness? Are you walking in a way of worldliness? Are the things of this world more important to you than eternal things? Well, you're in the wrong basket, aren't you? You see, and the terrible thing is this, that Paul says, if we are not disciplined, if we are not chastised by God, then we are bastards. In other words, we are not his sons. We are not his daughters. And therefore, God rejects us, as he rejected these naughty figs. And so, you see, I'm applying, you know, this to our own lives, not just to the Jews, but to our own lives. What are we doing in life? Are we applying ourselves? Are we seeking to be good workmen? Are we seeking to, you know, an honorable profession, that we will have gifts to help others in times of need, And are we indeed seeking to live for God? Yes, we will experience chastisement. We will have to submit to the dealings of God to purify our blood from the things of this world, from the things of the flesh. Yes, it will be hard. But I tell you this, that God will bring us down and cleanse us and then lift us up again far higher than we've ever known before. And this is what he did for the basket of good figs. I want you to be in that basket of good figs. I want you to be reckoned by God as those whom he will bless, those for whom he will care. And at the end of your life, like myself, you know, at the end of your life, you can say, yes, my life was fruitful. I did accomplish something. I did help people. I did walk on the pathway of righteousness. And you know, this is the beauty of the thought that King David declares unto King Solomon. He said, the path of righteousness is one that grows brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And that's what we want to be on. So at the end of our lives, you know, the light of God is brighter in our being, and we're ready to step in to that beautiful kingdom of light and happiness and to dwell with him forever and ever. May God grant that that be your portion. Amen.